This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I hope you are having a great day, and it's about to get greater. I have a new friend to the podcast, a recent friend of mine, as far as getting to know one another. We've known each other in like these circles that overlapped, but to get to know one another has been super recent. And I am just thrilled that she is going to be a guest today and to share her story. Her name is Susan Wiesman. And she has a book that's getting ready to come out that I am crazy excited for. I've seen some awesome endorsements just about the book, really just praising its message. And her book is called Undoing Superwoman, and it comes out in exactly a month. And that's exciting. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for folks to hear a little bit about who you are and your testimony. I know you've written this book, this really great book, just kind of outlining how you went from this super, like, I can do it all, to this place of where God really had to meet you in some hard moments. So share a little bit about who you are and the beginnings of your story.
Yeah, so I spent my whole career as a marketing executive, and I was the type of person who felt like I just had to be a perfectionist. I had to get everything done really well. I worked full time. I was a mom of two kids, still am, and married. And so I was trying to juggle everything. And I felt like I needed to do all of it. And I had zero boundaries. I felt like I needed to say yes to absolutely everything, because if I didn't say yes to everything, then that would make me maybe a bad friend. If I didn't say yes to every assignment at work, maybe that would make me a bad employee. And maybe, there would be some consequences. If I didn't say yes to every single request pretty much anybody, the school, like, hey, provide, baked goods for the bake sale. I would feel like somehow I was a moral failure if I did not say yes to absolutely everything. And I was always anxious about just everything, absolutely everything. And I didn't know at the time that it really stemmed from a lot of stuff from childhood expectations that I had put on myself, expectations that maybe indirectly people had put on me, but, maybe didn't intentionally put those on me. But I really took them on myself. I owned them as if somebody had just handed them to me. And it got to the point where my body just couldn't handle it anymore. The specific situation that was the tipping point was I owned a marketing consulting firm, and I took on an extra gig of consulting that was supposed to be about 20 hours a week, which would have fit into my, would fit in with all of the other assignments I had, all of the other clients. And then it turned into a full-time gig.
Just for the one client.
Just for the one client.
Wow.
And I had no idea going into it. And so I poured myself into that, and I poured myself into all of my clients. And I felt like a failure in all of those areas. So it was a 3-month stint with that particular marketing consulting gig. And by the time I got to the end of that, my body just said, no more. We're done. We're going on strike. And
wow.
So on my 45th birthday, I found myself in the emergency room, and found myself on nothing came of that visit at the emergency room. But it started a years long journey of trying to understand exactly what was happening to my body and how I could undo the damage. And really, it's a story of God showing me how I could reverse the damage. And it turned out it was as simple as just surrendering everything to him and letting him show me what could be done. And I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't even know that I could go, "Hey, God, could you give me a little guidance?" No idea. No idea.
Yeah.
I thought I had to do it all on my own. And he's
And
like,
you were a believer too.
"Absolutely. Yeah, I was a Christ follower, went to Bible study every week, was with a, friends with a whole group of really beautiful, godly women who, were all pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And even though I was pursuing knowledge, I would say in hindsight, I was not pursuing a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Nor did I understand how that could work.
So what were there any warning signs before the big crash that happened? Was there like these warning flags like, hey, slow down, pull that back, maybe don't take that thing? Or was it just like I'm in performance mode, I'm just going to keep going no matter what and just ignore the man behind the curtain kind of thing?
Yeah, there definitely were warning signs, but I ignored every single one of them. I had random illnesses and, just I got sick a lot, but when I would go, to a doctor's appointment, I was basically going in just hoping that they would just treat the symptoms. So it wasn't their fault that they couldn't pinpoint like, "Oh, maybe you should do something about, this stuff that's happening." They were doing what I wanted them to do, which was help me in that moment. And but I just ignored it. Just like, "Okay, let's just treat this thing. Let me compartmentalize it and we'll treat this and then I'll move on and I'll go do all these awesome things that I need to get done because I'm the only person who can get it done." That's the way
Ooh,
I was feeling.
ooh. Wow, I hear that pronouncement you made over yourself. You were saying you were doing some of these things because people had made pronouncements over you that whether you knew it or not, you were agreeing with and saying, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do this thing. But then you're also saying, oh, I'm the only one who can do this. I have to be the one to pick up all the slack, say yes to all these things, do all this stuff. And that just, it sounds like it was another one of those like, whoa moments, like you weren't really facing what the truth of that was.
Yeah, I completely ignored every dashboard warning light that was popping up. I just was like, "Never mind, let's just keep going." And until I
Yeah.
couldn't ignore it anymore.
What was your mental headspace in that moment? When everything crashed, your body just had given up, and you're just like you've left the emergency room, but you're not well. Like, what was your headspace like in those moments?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I should probably share some of the symptoms that I had going on so people can understand the severity of just how bad it was.
Yeah, do.
I had muscle weakness that was so intense that I would have to take breaks from something as simple as chewing food. I had
Ooh.
a heart rate that was going so fast that it felt like I was running a half marathon or a marathon, whatever, for, 24/7. I had to take a break from walking up a flight of stairs. I'd have to take a 2-hour nap every day just to get through a day.
Oof.
I couldn't do something as simple as standing to make dinner for my family because I was likely to pass out. So I had all of these random symptoms. And so when I had all of these random symptoms and nobody could make heads or tails of it, I was in the headspace of, "I feel like I am going to have to either, like, I can't figure this out on my own. I can't. Like, I have come to the end of myself and I no longer am in control of my body or of anything that's going on. And so I think I finally got so desperate because of how bad it was that I finally got to the point where I decided, okay, God, I'm gonna have to get help from you because you're my only choice. I mean, people come to a fork in the road like this all the time, I'm sure, and they can either make the decision to be angry and just turn away from God, or they can turn in the direction of wanting to go deeper with God. And I decided to go in the direction of going deeper with God. I had no idea what that looked like. All I knew was I felt like I had no other choice.
So this lack of control of the situation from someone that sounds like was maybe a little bit of a control freak, as we all are. I mean, I can say that I have been in my life as well. To go from that, like, I'm going to control every situation, I'm going to do all the things, to saying I have no control. How did you start to like begin to allow God into those spaces? Like, what were some of the first things that you did to begin to say, I'm going to be okay with this lack of control because I'm going to let God have it?
Yeah, I going back to that time, I think I what I decided to do was instead of rushing through my morning and just deciding, because like what I used to do was I would just rush through my morning, just get up, get to work. That's that's my singular focus is get the kids out the door, get to work. I didn't make time for God in the morning, or really, if I was going to my women's group, I would maybe spend, I mean, I would spend some time reading whatever that lesson was for the Bible study that week, but it was probably pretty rushed because I was probably feeling pretty rushed, even though I cared. I really did care about it, but I felt like I had no choice but to spend these few stolen moments reading this Bible study. And
Stolen moments.
instead,
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
yeah. And so what I decided to do instead was, how about I actually take some time to read the Bible and really read the Bible and to actually try to listen to what I'm supposed to learn from this today? And that's where it started, was to just make space so that I could actually maybe hear from God,
Yeah.
whatever that looked like. I didn't even know what that looked like.
So how did God begin to start meeting you in that space? Like, you're reading the word, you're like, I'm slowing down. I'm really gonna bring myself before the Lord. I'm gonna read that word. Like, how did he meet you in that?
So one of the things that I started doing is I started to actually journal when I was in that space. And I used to hate journaling. You can ask any of the ladies who were in that Bible study group at the time. I was the one who I was like, I do not want to write notes. If there's a space where I'm supposed to
Yeah.
handwrite something, and I'm like, no, I don't want to. I revolted. And I finally decided, you know, maybe I should try it. And so at some point along the way, I learned a prayer model. It's PRAY, praise, repent, ask, yield. It's just this simple structure. I won't go through all the steps, but the last part is yield.
Yield.
And
Oof.
what I do for that is I have my journal open. And I set a timer and I just listen and I write down anything that's coming into my head. And if I start to see patterns, then okay. Then I think, okay, it could be God. And so that's how I started trying to hear from God.
Yeah.
And as time went on, different books were recommended to me for, how I could hear God's voice even better. And so those are things that I tried to do so that I could hear even better. But it started with, okay, how about I take a beat?
Yeah.
And I try to listen. Drown out that noise that's been coming at me 24/7. I made time for all these other things. I made time for scrolling social media. I made time for,
Right.
flipping through magazines or, whatever, and wasn't making time for this. But when I got sick, I knew I have to do this. I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah. So have you, now that you've gotten to the other side of it, and God really met you in this seemingly catastrophic moment, as you've read some of those journal entries, what is God speaking to you about that now? I mean, aside from the book, obviously, because that feels like just God all over it, right? But like, as you've went back and looked at some of these journal entries, what is
Yeah.
God showing you through that?
Yeah, it's interesting to look back at them. And actually that was the first thing he had me do when I started the book, was he had me go through all of my old journals so that I could see, just to remember everything he had taken me through. And the biggest thing I would say, the theme that he has shown me over and over and over again, is he is good and he can be trusted.
Amen.
And those are things I don't think I believed before that. I had faith. I didn't necessarily have trust.
Trust is a big thing. I mean, it's huge to be able to say, I'm going to surrender my, I don't know, lack of belief. I'm going to trust you with a situation. I mean, or whatever it is. That's just huge for a person. And realizing you don't have it can be a little shocking when it's like, do I really trust God with this, the one thing? Have I really sought God for this situation? Have I asked God into those spaces and surrendered, like the yield, the pray model. I really like that yield part. Have I really done that? And that does take trust. And that's hard. And that takes cultivation.
Yeah. Yes, it takes time for sure.
That's hard though. I mean, it's, and you don't, like I said, realize you don't have it until you're faced with something where it's like, do you really trust God with this? Do you really? Like, where is your rubber meeting the road in such a way that you can say definitively, yes, Lord, I trust you with this? And it can be an eye-opening thing, but it can be a merciful thing too, because I think God will show up in those spaces in incredible ways when you learn to do that.
Definitely. And another thing that just came to mind, and I just love it when God does this. I was on my church's app. They have a Bible reading of the day. And if you've done a journal entry in the past on this particular passage of the Bible, it will show you like what your journal entry was. And it was in Psalms. And the last part of the psalm that I did a journal entry on 3 years ago said, "My hope is in you." And that the verse is really David talking about how, okay, my circumstances, like my world is crumbling around me, but my hope isn't in my circumstances. God, my hope is in you.
Amen.
And it was like, a 3 year ago blast from the past that I felt like I needed that reminder today. I probably need that reminder every day that my hope isn't in my circumstances, whether I'm healthy or I'm sick or rich or poor or whatever the circumstances are. My hope is in God.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have said that before. But it's always good to have a reminder.
Yes. From yourself, no less, right?
Exactly, I
Hey,
know. Thanks,
friend, future
self.
friend,
Yep. Hey, future
future self.
Susan,
Yeah.
here's what you need.
I love that so much. So, how have you, in telling your story, in becoming very public about your situation and the things that you've experienced, which are very real world realities for a lot of people, have you had people go, man, after you've shared your story, man, I relate, I understand, or thank you for sharing that because that just opened my eyes to whatever.
Yes, I have. I've had lots of people who have said that specific situations in the book have really resonated with them.
Yeah.
And there have been specific pieces of practical tips because really I wrote this to be a field guide to freedom for women.
Oh, I
So
love that.
whether somebody is sick, it doesn't have to be an autoimmune disease. It doesn't have to, whatever. Even if a woman's just reach the end of herself, there's always freedom on the other side. And so I love hearing from women who have been reading it so far that this practical information, just these tips, these steps they can follow, have brought freedom just from going through that exercise. So it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to hear about the freedom they're experiencing. And it's also fun to hear that it's making them laugh. I like that too.
Well, yeah, because you are you're very bubbly and you have just such a great sense of humor. You're very witty.
Thank
And
you.
you're welcome. I love some of your sense of humor. So, yeah, I could see where people would really enjoy this. And there's a little bit of, I don't want to call it irreverence, but that wittiness shows through in your writing and how you tell your story. And so that's really cool when you can express yourself in that way. That it's a definite feather in your cap, writing wise, that you can really put yourself in the writing. Sometimes people really struggle with that, but I don't see that here. So
Well, thank you.
you're
Appreciate
welcome. Yeah.
that.
So when God started really leading you to write this book, was there any part of you that was like, I don't really want to do that?
Oh, every day of the writing process, not just Tuesday, it was every day.
Right.
So, yeah, because it's very personal, it's very vulnerable. And I tell on myself a whole lot in this book. And so, yes, was there resistance? Yeah, for sure. But I also knew there was a reason why he brought me out the other side.
Yeah.
And it was so I could share my story, my testimony, and I could share about his goodness,
Oh, yeah.
about how he meets us where we are. And I don't know what kind of freedom women are going to experience from reading the book. Who knows? Like it's probably going to be different for everybody.
Yeah.
But just knowing that there, it's making me tear up, honestly, because just to know that there is going to be a level of freedom for women who are just, they feel like their backs against the wall and they just have no other choice. I want them to experience that freedom. So for that reason, like I'm like, all right, you know what? This was not fun. It was not fun to write. I mean, there were times it was fun, but when I write the funny stuff,
Right.
but to write the vulnerable stuff, the hard stuff, to go back to some painful memories, that
Yeah.
was hard, but it was worth it. It was worth it because it can help other women and
Yeah.
probably men too. I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah, I definitely think it could help men or women because it's a universal truth that you're delivering and of, God meeting us in those spaces where we're just going to plow on, we're just going to keep going, we're just going to keep doing the thing, even though that thing is killing us. It's like God sometimes has to put those like roadblocks in the way to get us to face ourselves and the way in which we're killing ourselves. So yeah, those are definitely universal truths that are for both men and women. Although I know you probably had a female audience in mind the majority of the time as you were writing, or did, would that be fair to say?
Oh yeah. I
Okay.
mean, I knew I was mainly writing for women. Although, like you said, the themes are so universal
Yep.
that I think that they could easily be applied to anyone's life.
So if there's someone out there that just from a top level wanting to share their story, they feel like God is telling them to write. Because I get this all the time from people that know I'm a writer, right? They're like, oh, I feel like I've got this book in me and I don't know what to do. And I give the same sort of advice every time, but I want to just hear like from you, having just finished this book that, like I said, is coming out in a month. I cannot believe it's coming out in a month. It's like it just kind of mind blowing because it seems like it wasn't that long ago that this whole process started. So God's really been in it. But what would you say to that person that's like, yeah, I feel like God is telling me to share my story, but can I really do this? Should I do this?
I would absolutely encourage somebody who feels like there is a story that God has put on their heart, if there is a message that they feel like has to get out there because God has put it on their heart to help other people, I say do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Because I love it. I was just at a conference. It's called the She Speaks Conference by Proverbs 31 Ministries. And
Oh, yeah.
the theme for this year was, you've been through some stuff.
I like that. That's
Now,
so
I think it
good.
was like, you've been through some stuff, now go share it. And so I'm probably butchering that,
That's
but
good.
basically, but yeah, I mean, but we've all been through some stuff. And if God has put you in a place where you can tell us a story about how that stuff that you were through, that you went through, how it ultimately strengthened you, or whatever your testimony is, there's power in that.
Amen.
There is power in that testimony. And I promise anybody who feels like they have a story to tell, God will use it. It won't always be in the same way. We're not all necessarily going to be New York Times bestsellers, but he's going to use it.
Amen. He will. He totally will. And one thing I'm just profoundly reminded about is like every story counts, every story matters, whether you put it on paper or not. And if you do take that brave step of writing it down to share, to maybe go to a different level with your story, it may be very hard to write. I was very grateful to hear you say that there were hard times in writing this stuff. Just like with mine, when I wrote my story, there were moments where it was very hard. And the biggest question I get was it cathartic to write your book? And I always have to say, no, it wasn't. Because there was no part of it that felt like a release to me. I'd been sharing my story, but to go back and experience some of that stuff in a real raw way and remember all of the stuff, it kind of it sent me to a place of, okay, I just need to go to a new level of healing and allowing God into that space. But I say all that to just encourage someone, if you're beginning that process, say you've started that, I'm going to begin to write my story, but boy, this feels really hard. That's really normal. That is, it doesn't have to be like this big cathartic release. I don't know where that myth came from, that if you share your story, it's like, oh, somehow I'm just feeling so free and everything's so great. Like, no, sometimes it's some tears at night after you've written, 5 pages of something or, 200 words. I don't know what it would be, but that it in the end it is really worth it. Like I am so grateful that I wrote my story. I did what I know God wanted me to do. So I was just super glad to hear you say that. That there were parts that were hard.
Yeah, there were a lot of parts that were hard. And but again, it was worth it
Yeah.
to take that time and to go through those emotions again,
Yeah.
because I needed to go through those emotions again so that I could adequately convey what was happening at that time and really take the reader in there. And I agree with you that it's not necessarily that it's cathartic, but it is going to be so helpful
Yes.
for the woman or whoever the reader is on the other side of it. And so as long as you keep that in your mind when you're doing it, you're going to be golden.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's purpose in the pain. There is a message in the mess. There are those things that God uses. And especially in telling our story, as women, as just people, our stories connect us together, right? Like even when Jesus gave his big lessons, like when he sat down with a crowd of people, he didn't say, "Okay, I'm just going to teach you now." He would go, "No, let me tell you this parable about this dude or this woman and this thing. And this is what happened." And people just hooked into that because that is the way in which we really communicate and become, dare I say, at the same level with one another. Like that, it's our humanness. It's our things that make us the creation that God has made us, and we are more alike than we are different.
Amen. Yes, definitely.
Well, good stuff. Well, all right. So your book is coming out. What's the actual official release date?
The official release date is October 2nd. Pre-orders will start on September 18th.
Oof. Boy, that's right around the corner. Because it at the time of
Tell me
this,
about it.
as of this recording, it is September 3rd, so that's coming up really quick. And
Very
maybe by
quickly.
the, yeah, I know, right? It's so exciting, this being your first book, and so you've been given some really great opportunities to speak and share your story, and I've loved hearing from you how, like, God has just really surprised you
Oh, yeah.
in I mean, getting like your book's all of a sudden here. Like you went from, yeah, I think I should write this and I'm working on it, to all of a sudden it's published and you're speaking, there's a release date. Like, wow. That
Yeah,
is just
God has definitely
amazing.
been moving in this
Oh
for sure.
man.
Yeah. So yes, he has been in it every bit of it, and man, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool. Well, folks, I encourage you that if it is after the release date, that, or actually even after the pre-sale date, that you rush right out there and get this book. You will not be sorry. Again, it's called Undoing Superwoman, and my guest today has been Susan Wiesman. I will put all of her handles and her website in the show notes, so you can go and find her and just get to know this really great lady. So,
Thank you.
you're welcome. All right, folks, until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.